don't know, man. Haven't the Irish suffered, like, enough? Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This week, I am so sorry to all of my Irish listeners, to all of my Irish viewers. If I have any, I don't know. If I have any Irish listeners or viewers, my apologies. This week, we're talking about the Berenstain Bears' St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day. And as you can see from the cover, it is culturally sensitive. I am so sorry if this episode in any way reinforces any negative stereotypes or makes you feel a little bit of self-loathing, but maybe you love it. I don't know. Maybe you're Irish-American and you're like, heck yeah, that's exactly how I want my St. Patrick's Day to be celebrated. I want to see people wearing green tam-o'-shanters and green bowler hats with shamrocks sticking out of them. I want them to be wearing green variants on their regular outfits. And I want them to be talking to Leprechaun with his pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. St. Patrick's Day. Why even do a St. Patrick's Day? St. Patrick's Day is such a weird holiday culturally in America. Like, on one hand, you have like the very Irish people who are like, heck yeah, let's celebrate our heritage. On the other side, you have non-Irish people who are like, heck yeah, let's get wasted and destroy property. On the other side, you have like elementary school kids who are like, you got to wear green or you're going to get assaulted. On the other side, you have people who are like, this is a religious holiday celebrating one of the saints who I don't think is in canon anymore. I don't know if he's an actual saint anymore. But on the other hand, you have a celebration that's been going on since at least the 1600s. I believe the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in America in 1601. I think the first St. Patrick's Day, like, big celebration was 1600. The first parade, 1601, in, like, Spanish-controlled Florida. So it's just, it goes way, I mean, it's a vast tradition. This is something that's been going on for a long time. And St. Patrick's Day celebrations, of course, going way back. I mean, it's Catholic, so going way, 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 way back. St. Patrick himself, interesting guy, non-Irish, British guy, kidnapped by the Irish, sold into slavery in Ireland, like in the like 700 something, I think. And then he escapes, goes back to England, comes back to Ireland to convert the heathens to Christianity. So he's got this weird, he's sort of held up as this Irish symbol, but also he's British, and also he, like, forced the Irish to convert. So he, like, made them give up their traditional ways to conform to Catholicism, but then also, like, he's sort of the symbol of Ireland. Also, there's, like, the story of him chasing the snakes out of Ireland, which is hilarious because, as paleontologists all know, there were never any snakes on Ireland. In Ireland, they didn't exist there, so it's sort of considered maybe, like, it's a parable for, like, him chasing out the pagans, maybe. We don't know. There's a lot about St. Patrick we're not really familiar. We don't understand. Why St. Patrick? But he was a saint, and then there's the Saints' Day, and then the Irish immigrated or forcibly were immigrated or had to flee to America to get rid of all the, to get away from all the horribleness going on in Ireland. And they brought these traditions with them. But again, St. Patrick's Day was also a Catholic thing. So it's not, it wasn't just Irish, but then it became a source of Irish identity. And then it sort of lost the religious part. And I guess there's movements now to, like, bring the Catholicism back to St. Patrick's Day, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen any more than we're going to bring back the actual history to, like, Cinco de Mayo. Like, no, it's just a celebration of culture at this point. And in America, a celebration of weird culture. Did you know that the fifth largest population of Irish people outside of Ireland is, I think, Argentina? They have, like, it's a massive population of Argentinian Irish there, because, like, I guess when the Irish were looking for new places to flee to, Buenos Aires was like, hey, come here, it's the land of milk and honey, my friends. And then they got there and it wasn't. But now there's just this, I mean, like, 10,000 some Irish people, like, emigrated to Argentina. I was surprised. They have a huge St. Patrick's Day celebration there. That's how I was doing some research. That's how I found out about that. I was like, wow, the Irish population in Argentina is enormous. So if you're ever looking for some Irish expats, I guess go to Argentina and say hi for me, from me, say hi. Phil sent me here. He wanted me to say hi to you, Irish Argentinians, I guess. You don't have to, but if you do, that's tell him Phil sent you. So the Baron's name bears St. Patrick's Day. What's the deal? What's the dealio? What's the big deal? What's going on with St. Patrick's Day? Let's find out. I'm eager to dive in. This one is from 2021. And I've sort of been like, I don't think I've ever done a St. Patrick's Day book. Again, St. Patrick's Day has this weird place as a I was thinking about this in the car the other day. St. Patrick's Day occupies a weird place culturally in America because it's not, there used to be two major shopping holidays, Christmas and Halloween. Those were the two big ones that really fed into the consumerism of, especially in the United States. You know, say Christmas because you sold everything, like toys, gifts, packages, you sold decorations, you sold food. Halloween, you had just this massive, that's where like most candy companies made their money, was around Halloween. And you had the costumes, you had decorations and party favors and stuff like that. So you had these two major holidays that sort of began and like began the fall and then kicked off the winter. Like now it's dark. And then you had these sort of like these second tier B-list consumer holidays. You had like Valentine's Day. You had Easter, which was sort of Christmas too, as far as like the stores were concerned, because you sold a little more. It's kind of like this Christmas / Halloween too, because you sold a couple of toys maybe to make the Easter baskets. You sold a little bit of candy, like a little more candy that wasn't available at Halloween time. You sold a few decorations, but it was sort of like the B-list holiday as far as buying stuff went. You had Valentine's Day, which is where you sold some more specialty candy. You had 4th of July, you have some decorations there. But then St. Patrick's Day was always this like C or even D-list holiday when I was a kid, because all it really was for us was you wore green, maybe, if you didn't want to get assaulted. And you maybe in class made cutout shamrocks, which I think for us were like sort of you used snowflake making technology, but instead you were cutting out a four leaf clover or three leaf. I can't remember. But you would also cut designs into them and you'd hang them up. Maybe you made a paper plate face leprechaun. Maybe that too, with a little hat. Like you had top hat cutouts left over from when you were making your face paper plate snowmen. So you just cut those out in green and made leprechauns, made a beard out of cotton balls, but you dyed them red, and then you drew on a face and you had a leprechaun. There are a lot of arts and crafts, but it didn't mean anything to us. We didn't know what St. Patrick's Day was. We didn't know who St. Patrick was. We didn't celebrate it in any way. I'm not Irish. I'm not Catholic. I mean, I'm a little Irish. I'm allowed to have a little bit Irish as a treat. I'm allowed a little bit. I do have a little bit of Irish blood. I think we should be allowed to be a little Irish at work. We're allowed to have a little bit of Irish in us. I do have a little bit. I actually have quite a bit of Irish in me. My grandma used to tell me that she's like, you're more Irish than Mexican, which is a hilarious thing to say to a Gonzalez. And I went out to an audition once when they were looking for Mexicans, and I showed up and the woman was like, absolutely not. However, we could cast you as Irish. And I thought it was funny that she's like, pulled that out of her, like, I was like, do I look in the mirror and see, like, that's an Irishman. That's, I don't know, an O. Gonzalez, I guess you could call me. I know, but I do have I do have Irish ancestry. I looked at my history, because my mother's side of the family has a lot of European, but there's a glut of Irish in there. But again, not more than I have Latino. Like, I'm literally half Latino. So, weird, I know. But in any case, that's just me saying, I'm allowed to talk about this, because my grandmother used to tell me to ignore my Mexican side and focus more on the Irish, I guess. As my dad also said that. Anything to pull away from my actual heritage, because I guess at that point you'd be less discriminated against if you claimed Irish ancestry. How would I even claim Irish ancestry to like future employers? Like, ignore the Gonzalez part. Oh, Phil Gonzalez, yes, but think of the Emerald Isle when you look at me. I guess it was what I was supposed to say. I don't know why they thought that was an intelligent thing to tell a child. But in any case, the Irish. So I don't have any Irish, you know, like we didn't celebrate any Irishness. We weren't Catholic and we weren't drinkers. And I wasn't a drinker. I used to not drink at all. So I had no reason to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It was nothing in it for me. Same reason I would never celebrate a Mardi Gras. Not Catholic, didn't drink, wasn't from New Orleans, even though I had a lot of New Orleans ancestry because of my mother's side of the family, well, Louisiana. But still, and I live nearish to Galveston, which is a huge Mardi Gras locale. But in any case, none of that. So there's no, it didn't have any charm for me. I didn't believe in Leprechaun. I didn't search Pot of Gold. I didn't chase Rainbow. I don't even like Finian's Rainbow. I don't know Darby O'Gill and the Little People didn't mean a whole lot to me growing up. I watched it, but the Banshee scared me. I was more of a Brigadoon boy, and that's Scottish. So I don't want to offend anyone by mentioning that, but hey, that's the closest I got. Brigadoon, not a very good musical. By the way, it's about 18 hours long, and there's about 7 ballet breaks, which if you're a community theater doing Brigadoon, A, why? B, cut the dance sequences. You don't need the Come to Me, Bend to Me ballet. Nobody cares. Unless you've got, like, I can't think of a famous dancer all of a sudden. Insert the name of your favorite famous ballet dancer right there. Unless you've got doing the dance, don't just cut the Come to Me, Bend to Me ballet. You don't need. What was I talking about? St. Patrick's Day. So the Berenstain Bears, St. Patrick's Day. Oh boy, we're going to learn a little bit about bear country here, though, because you're going to learn a little bit about bear country here. So 'tis the luck of the bearish, or so we are told, that leads us on to a pot of gold. The luck of the bearish. Hold on to that thought. You may be thinking, that's a weird pun to play, like a weird card to play. You're playing your bear pun hand right at the beginning of the story. Why would you do that, Mike? Well, you'll find out, and it literally feeds into the history of Bear World. So hold on to your bums. Hold on to your Irish butts, because we're getting into it. The look of the bearish. Okay, I'm not going to do any more. I have Irish blood in me, so I'm allowed to do my Irish accent. It's a fun accent to do. But yeah, it's one of the things that, like, the Irish have to fight a lot is horrible stereotypes, which are not helped by St. Patrick's Day iconography. So what we start off with is this wonderful two-page spread of bear, like the local region around the Bear family's treehouse. And I love the way this starts off, because it talks about the fact that we're at the point in the year when we're between winter and spring. Like, it says the weather couldn't decide whether to be cold and snowy, or warm and sunny, or sometimes warm and snowy, which is weird, but we are literally in that time of year right now as I speak in Minnesota, where it's warm out. We're having like 60 degree days, 67 degree days, but also, like, we know that the snow will come back. I get that it's imminent. It's waiting out there. It's fall spring. I mean, it's legally spring, but in Minnesota, we know that, as the man himself said, sometimes it snows in April, and we will get that. However, I love that Mike is calling this out. I love that he's saying, like, there is this weird period of time, especially in the Midwest, where you don't really know what the season is. Like, there's flowers poking through the snow, as he points out. So we've got this great two-page spread. On the left side is the Bear family treehouse covered in snow. In the middle is, like, it's a continuation of that image, but there's like harsh lines through it. We see the sun breaking through the trees, and there's like green grass growing. And then on the right, we see the rest of the scene, and we see the flowers springing up through puddles of snow, and birds like robins singing in the trees. But it's divided. It's like this triptych where, so you see Brother's foot has a winter galosh on it, but as Brother continues through the split, he's dressed in springtime clothes. It's a really neat representation of what the weather is like this time of year. And so kudos, Mike. I really enjoy this. But it's also the halfway point between Valentine's Day and Easter, which I was just talking about. Like, this weird interim between the holiday where you get a bunch of candy and the holiday where you get a bunch of candy. In the middle is St. Patrick's Day. And it's such a mysterious holiday that it is now March 17th, and no one even knows it's St. Patrick's Day until Grizzly Gran and Grizzly Gramp show up wearing green clothes, wearing the plastic St. Patrick's Day hats with fake shamrock stuck in the lapel. The shamrock, by the way, the legend says that St. Patrick used the shamrock to teach the Trinity, like the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, which is, A, weird, because why would you need visual aid to teach that. Like, you just say it, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You have, you can count it on three fingers. But the legend was that he used it. And so you see pictures of St. Patrick with the shamrock because it sort of like puts forth that legend. Also, Ireland wasn't associated with the color green, I think, until the 17th century, I believe is how that worked, when it started being associated with like the Green Lady. Some of the characters from Irish mythology were said to have been green or represented by the color green. And it was kind of a promotional thing for Ireland, like a nationalist, like pride thing, like intentionally done to associate Ireland with the color green, which has since carried on. I believe blue used to be the color most associated with it. I know that leprechauns used to be considered characters who wore all red, like red jackets. So the green has sort of seeped in. Also, leprechauns, nothing to do with St. Patrick's Day. Originally, like, leprechauns were there. Well, we'll get into that. So Grizzly Gramps and Gran show up at the Bear Family Treehouse. It's March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And the kids are befuddled. They're like, what is St. Patrick's Day? And I find this wild. This is like Brother Bear not knowing what a nightmare is in the Bear and Sustained Bears in the Bad Dream. Like, brother, you are in fourth or fifth grade. You should know, you have heard of St. Patrick's Day by this point. There is apparently a enormous St. Patrick's Day parade that goes on each year. How have you missed this? But Gramps is like, you don't know that you're part bearish, which is similar to what my grandmother said to me, except Irish. And Sister's like, we know we're bears. And Grizzly Gramps is like, that's not what I mean. And then he explains. And ladies and gentlemen, remember those butts I referred to earlier in the show? Remember the butts? I want you to take both of your hands right now, and wherever that butt may be, just grab onto it, because you're going to have to hold on to it, because it's about to fly out the window. I guess I don't know why we say hold on to your butts, except that it's from Jurassic Park. But in any case, hold on to your butts, because to be bearish, said Gramps, means that some of our ancestors came from the island of, say it with me now, Bearland, across the sea. Bearland is a fair green country called the Emerald Isle, which is why we wear green on St. Patrick's Day, because St. Patrick is important in bearish history. And then he says he drove the snakes from Bearland. That's why there's no snakes there. And we get this two-page spread showing Ireland, showing St. Patrick his own self. But he's a bear. He's chasing snakes in the book. But ladies and gentlemen, Ireland doesn't exist in Bear World. I'm sorry to break it to you. There is no such country. There is no such island as Ireland. It is Bearland, which means it's the land of the bears, which may mean that the bear clan is Irish originally, like as opposed to the grizzly clan, because we know that the bears and the grizzlies, mortal enemies. So were the grizzlies the British? Is that what I'm getting here? Are the descendants of the bears from Bearland? I don't know. It doesn't go into it. But let's remember our Bear World history. The Bear Clan and the Grizzly Clan. Ancient feuding families. Ancient feuding bloodline. The Bear Clan and the Grizzly Clan helped found America in the 19th century. The Bear Clan and the Grizzly Clan went to war, starting the Great Bear War, which divided the nation, north and south, basically. One family controlled the north, one family controlled the south. They went to war. Eventually, the Great Bear War was settled peacefully in Bear Country, in Bear Town, at the foot of Old Shag, the back scratching tree that stands in the middle of the town square. Remember that, because that means that the history of Ireland, the history of their Ireland, seems to be tied up in the history of the British and the Irish, which makes sense, being the foundation of the Great Bear War, I guess. I mean, I guess that's what we're talking about here, is that the Great Bear War, it's tied into the colonization of Ireland by the British, I guess. Was St. Patrick in their world kidnapped by the bearish and brought to Bearland and then escaped back to whatever their version of England is, and then went back to Bearland to convert the heathens? Who knows? We don't go into it. We do know that he apparently chased the snakes out of Bearland. Were there snakes in Bearland? Who knows? We don't know how much of this is true or not, but Sister's upset because she likes snakes. She likes all animals. Well, fortunately for the Bear family, Grizzly Gran has brought St. Patrick's Day clothing, which amounts to green variants on the bear's own clothes, which is amazing. which I guess she's made. And she gives them their clothes. She gives them a bunch of shamrocks with which to festoon themselves. She says, Gramps says, shamrocks are a symbol of Bearland and are said to bring good luck, the luck of the bearish. And Brother's like, thank God I need some good luck. Why does he need good luck? He doesn't actually say thank God I need some good luck, but it says Brother didn't mind a little good luck. Brother didn't mind a little good luck because he, I don't know. We don't know why he needs some good luck. Is he having trouble with bullies? Is he having trouble with girls? Is he having trouble with affairs of the heart? We don't know, but we do know that we're heading to, I thought the next page was going to be the St. Patrick's Day Parade. It's not. They're going to the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And then Gramps is like, they're like, can you tell us more about Bearland? And Grizzly Gramps is like, of course I can tell you more about Bearland. Let's start with, what's he going to start with? Like the history of like the Gaelic history? Is he going to like the, with the Celts and the Gauls and the, all the, like the invasion by the British? Is he going to go into all this? Is he going to get into the troubles? Is he going to get into any modern Irish history? No. Can you tell us more about Bearland? Of course. We'll start with the legend of the leprechaun. Great. Okay, great. That's a good intro to Irish history, I guess. Why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Well, let's talk about this made-up little boy. Lepra who? Lepra what? It sounds weird, says Brother. Again, you are in fourth or fifth grade. You have heard of leprechauns before. Like, there are equivalents of Lord of the Rings in your world. I guarantee there is an equivalent of the Leprechaun film series in your world. I guarantee you. They sell these outfits and hats at your local party city. Why haven't you ever heard of St. Patrick's Day? Why haven't you ever heard of leprechauns? Why haven't you heard of shamrocks? I don't know why Brother is so ignorant as to all this. In any case, Grizzly Gramps gives a pretty good rundown of the leprechaun. He emphasizes the fact that they're cobblers, which is true. Back in the day, the leprechaun was considered mostly a shoemaker, one of those types of elves. The origin of the term leprechaun is debated, so we're not going to get into that. But he talks about how they devote themselves to making shoes. And they also the gold at the end of the rainbow thing. There's a leprechaun's gold at the end of the rainbow. If you can find it, wow. Great. The history of the leprechaun goes way, way back. Leprechaun is like sort of a modern spelling of it and pronunciation. Originally, they were red-coated little men who were separate from fairies. And I want to emphasize that. In some storytelling, especially modern, like modern contemporary fairy tale stories, leprechauns get lumped in with the fairies of Ireland, but they have always been considered separate. They're more like house elves, closer to that concept. They're solitary creatures, for one thing, which is unlike fairies. They don't exist in a realm. They exist in our world, the world of people. They sort of hide in the woods or in houses. They're more like Tomten. They don't steal you away. They're not tricksters. They will play pranks, but traditionally they would mostly play pranks if you did something to upset them. They're solitary, like to keep by themselves, like to stay hidden, but they will fix your shoes. They will fix your shoes in the middle of the night. So that's an important thing. A little give and take, but they're more like people than fairies. They're not terrifying creatures. Traditionally. So the leprechaun, its own thing. It's like more like a brownie than a fairy. Polite little guys. They wore suits, they wore coats, they wore hats, but sometimes they were portrayed wearing like hoods up over their heads in old stories of the leprechaun. But yeah, they weren't associated with St. Patrick's Day. They weren't tied in. They were an Irish sprite, an Irish, like, what's the term we're looking for? Folk creature, an Irish folk creature. So yeah, that's the leprechaun. So, and I like that Grizzly Gramps doesn't try to associate the leprechaun with St. Patrick's Day. He doesn't really explain why he's telling the kids this, except that they're sort of associated with the woods and vales of Ireland, or Bearland, as he says. But they, I mean, it's probably, they're going to see some leprechaun. So they get to Beartown. On Main Street in Beartown, we see the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, which is a weird thing to include, Mike, I thought. But they're also like bringing their little fold-up chairs, which we've got. Everyone has a few of these. The chairs that fold up and go into the bags that you sling over your shoulder. They got a few of those, which they set up. Waiting for the parade to start. It's a sunny day. It's warm. What's hilarious is that then all three cubs simultaneously fall asleep in their chairs, waiting for the parade to start. I don't know why they're so tired. Is this a little St. Patrick's Day magic? I don't know, but they doze off and begin to dream. And they dream, as most of us do, of Ireland, except, of course, it's Bareland. We see the rolling green hills of the Emerald Isle. We see sheep grazing in the meadow. We see hares. We see robins. And we see a rainbow. And they decide to go chase the rainbow without thinking. They don't decide to go chase the rainbow. Without thinking, they follow the rainbow. And they come across a cobbler. They come across a leprechaun, tip-tap, tapping at a shoe. Begorra, he says, smiling. For those of you who wonder about the term Begorra or Shoreham Begorra, it's a term that the Irish don't actually use, except when they're making fun of the way Americans think of the Irish. But Begorra is a term that's used, it's a corruption, or it's, what is the, hold on, I'm going to look up what this expression is, because there's a term for this. It is a minced oath that means by God. So instead of saying by God, you'd say begorra, like you would say dag nabbit instead of swearing. It's a begorra, or bloody, like instead of saying by Our Lady. It's begorra. It's a way of saying by God or oh my God without actually coming right out and saying it. So the leprechaun is using it correctly, I guess. Like he's not just saying it because he's supposed to be Irish. Begorra, he says. Oh my God, welcome. Who might you be? They introduce themselves, they're bears, and he's like, ho ho, are you now? Even though he's clearly a bear. This isn't the little man, this is a bear. But he's about, I want to give it to him, he's about 3 feet tall, which is about the size of, I mean, I think he's about 3 feet tall. Oh no, this guy's about the size of the cubs. So he's a little taller than that. Usually leprechauns were portrayed as being, sometimes they're shown as being like Smurf height, but leprechauns in traditional Irish folklore were portrayed as being like 2 or 3 feet tall. So the size of just small people, hobbit size, basically. And they're like, are you real? Are you really a leprechaun? He's like, well, what do you think? Did you follow the rainbow to find me? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, I expect to find a pot of gold. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, well, you're right. Here's my gold. And the kids start like shoving gold into their pockets like the Goonies. And then they get woken up by Grizzly Gran, and they're like, ah, we thought we were getting some real gold. But they're watching she's like, the parade is starting. I don't know how the cubs slept through a parade begin. But things seem different now somehow. The parade's getting started. There's a marching band. There's bearish dancers. We see bagpipe players, because bagpipes aren't just Scottish. They're also used in some traditional Irish music. We see Irish line dancing going on. Clogging, I think it's referred to as. I had a friend in college who was a professional, like, competitive clogger. And she was very good at it. She demonstrated it for us in public speaking class. Danielle, I don't know if you're still clogging, but I hope you are. I know she's like a doctor. So she clogged her way into medical history by dancing and clogging through her finals. I don't know how you become a doctor. We see Mayor and Mrs. Honeypot driving in their long lavender limousine, which is what we talked about a few episodes back. We see the Beartown police, very common in St. Patrick's Day parades. The fire department's there in St. Patrick's Day parade. We see a very funny image that Mike has drawn of the marching band, because one of the trombones is knocking the hat off the marching band. The drummer in front of her, a little nice little comic touch. Thanks, Mike, for that. We see harpers playing harps. And then we see 4 almost identical leprechauns marching down the byway, marching up the highway, each carrying a pot of gold. It sort of gives away the fact that if you dress Berenstain Bears the same, it is almost literally impossible to tell them apart from each other. Because this is 4 leprechauns drawn in Berenstain style, who look like each other, Mike. They look like each other. And that's the end of the book, almost. The bear family packs up their things, because do leprechauns tend to end the St. Patrick's Day parade? I'm going to look that up. Hold on. Do St. Patrick's Day parades end with leprechauns? Do St. Patrick's Day parades end with leprechauns? It doesn't say.
Hold on.
Leprechauns tend to put under criticism of St. Patrick's Day celebrations. St. Patrick's Day celebrations are criticized for fostering demeaning stereotypes of Ireland and Irish people. Wearing of leprechaun outfits is the first thing listed. Because the leprechaun outfits, the outfits that you see leprechauns wear are based on derogatory 19th century caricatures of the Irish. In fact, in the run-up to St. Patrick's Day in 2014, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which is an Irish Catholic fraternal organization, successfully campaigned to stop major American retailers from selling novelty merchandise that promoted negative Irish stereotypes. So, hold on, I'm going to common stereotypes. Yeah, mischievous red-headed leprechauns. Having red hair is an Irish stereotype. 10% of the Irish population has red hair, which is the highest amount of naturally occurring red hair in the world. 46% of Ireland's population carries the gene responsible for producing red hair. And so red-headed leprechauns committing all kinds of crimes, such as in this picture I'm looking at, where a leprechaun is dropping his drawers and farting out music. harmful stereotypes. So we don't want to perpetuate harmful stereotypes. I don't think that Mike was trying to perpetuate harmful stereotypes. These leprechauns aren't committing mischief. They aren't farting, and they aren't farting music. But as they're getting ready to leave the parade, the bear family packs up their things, and the kids are like, had it really been just a dream? Was it just a dream? And then they think they see a little figure in green hopping behind a boulder. Could it be Bagheera? Who can tell? Bagheera, indeed. Bagheera. Who can tell? Ireland, Irish, Bearland, the Bearish. That's the Berenstain Bears St. Patrick's Day 2021. Do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Anyone out there in Bear Country? Do any of you celebrate St. Patrick? Like, seriously celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Like full on? Like, is this a time of year for you that you really look forward to? Well, I asked that question of my friends on social media. Do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Is it a big deal for you? If so, why or why not? And what do you do for St. Patrick's Day? You go to church, drink beer, you go to Ireland, do you be a leprechaun? What gives? One of my friends mentioned that her younger sister goes all out with her kids. And in fact, building leprechaun traps has become a thing around this time of year. And I know why that is. It's because of the success of the Christmas tradition of Elf on the Shelf. Suddenly they figured out that you can also do leprechaun stuff in a very similar way around St. Patrick's Day and sell merch related to that. So setting up leprechaun traps is a thing, which I said sounds like a dicey proposition considering that they're magical beings. One of my friends said that he might wear a green t-shirt and eat a Reuben sandwich. Otherwise, it doesn't mean much to him. And so the Reuben sandwich brought up, we'll bring it up again with one of my friends who says that her family is as Irish as hell is hot. They always get together as a family. They try to produce a St. Patrick's Day themed show every year. My friend, who's a comedian. The one thing that they do is commemorate Irish independence, honor the history of the Troubles, and celebrate the hopefully crushing end to the oppression of the British Empire. But I want to go back and talk about, one of my friends says that they've been known to make soda bread and corned beef and cabbage at home, even though they know the latter is not Irish. So the corned beef and cabbage is interesting, and I wanted to bring that up because the Reuben sandwich was brought up. Or a corned beef sandwich. One of my friends says he might go to a Jewish deli for corned beef sandwich because he's not a big fan of Irish-style corned beef and cabbage. Or have a couple of shamrock shakes. Former guest of the show and future guest of the show, Mark Sweeney, says he carries on a family tradition of making corned beef, cabbage, and potatoes. It's holiday comfort food. Avoid getting pinched or punched. One of my friends makes soda bread or watching Song of the Sea or The Secret of Rowan Inish. The two very good movies. Check them out. And some said when they were in their 20s, they would go out to parades and get tanked. But let's talk about that corned beef and cabbage. So corned beef wasn't traditionally an Irish food. Corned beef was made from sort of some of the worst cuts of beef and was sold to poor people, but not to the Irish. The Irish were in charge of, were manufacturers of corned beef, but it was actually for them considered a luxury good, and so it was exported. Corned beef really took off in sales thanks to, say it with me, the African slave trade, because corned beef was fed to slaves. It was considered a poor person food and a slave food and was not considered a delicacy. My, how times have changed. Much like lobster was fed to slaves until people were like, it's kind of good. This kind of tastes good. The Irish didn't start becoming associated with corned beef until the Irish emigrated to America when it was a cheap food to buy. And so when Irish communities would seek out corned beef, they would go to Ashkenazi Jewish communities because Jewish delis had corned beef. Corned beef was traditionally made from the cheaper cuts of meat, the tougher cuts of meat, or the brisket cuts of beef. Corned beef, which is just beef that's been cured in, like preserved in salt, was then treated with spices and smoked to make pastrami. So pastrami sandwiches, which were very traditionally sold in Jewish delis and used to make Reubens, were made from corned beef. The brisket cut of meat was also used to make corned beef, which is also Jewish, Ashkenazi Jewish brisket. Of course, easy to, you know, very easy to come by then. I separate that from other kinds of brisket. If you're from Texas, you might know barbecue brisket, which is a different type of preparing brisket. I looked it up. I was reading all about brisket today. There's as many different ways of preparing brisket, I guess, as there are cultures in the world. The brisket's beef, cattle don't have collarbones, so the muscles on their chest area are used to support like most of their weight. It's all muscle. So the meat from like the chest area of the cow, the brisket cut, and what's the brisket is different depending on where your butcher is from and what country you're from. But the brisket cut, which is kind of here, is really tough, like really hard to cook. So you would have to like slow cook it in order to like get the connective tissue to soften up and everything. You got to cook it with the fat in order to soften the meat. Like, that's why brisket can be hard to make, but also incredible to make. And so every culture has their way of making the brisket, which then becomes associated. And I don't know why I'm talking about brisket so much. The brisket isn't even mentioned, but corned beef became associated with the Irish as much as it's associated with the Ashkenazi Jewish populations of immigrants, especially on the East Coast. And then it just carried on. Cabbage, of course, is a source of food for people who are poor, subsistence farmers. You know, you grow cabbage, you can live off cabbage for a long time. You can make a lot of different things with it. It's a relatively flavorless food, but that absorbs the flavors of other things, but also creates quite a smell when you boil it. So cabbage, it's used to supplement a lot of diets. So yes, there's a lot of different ways of celebrating St. Patrick's Day. I hope that if you celebrate St. Patrick's Day today, I was making fun of the book. This book's fine. This book's fine and it's fun. This book is fine and it's fun. I make a lot of fun of it, but it's if you are Irish and you're put off by the stereotypes of Ireland, if you're put up by the stereotypes perpetuated by St. Patrick's Day, then this book obviously isn't for you. But if you are Irish and you lean into those traditions, you lean into the look, you lean into that, then this is it's a fun enough book. It's about the kids learning what St. Patrick's Day is, which is a weird thing for them and a weird thing for me to deal with. The biggest takeaway from this book, however, is that Ireland doesn't exist in Bear World. It's Bearland. Does Gaelic exist? We don't know. It has to, except that why wouldn't it be called Ireland then? I don't know. I'm assuming that the Troubles existed and that fed into the Great Bear War. Interesting that the Troubles, the greatest war of the Troubles, related to the Troubles, would then be, it's not the Troubles like we think of it. It's like the bear version of the Troubles, which happened like way earlier because it was solved in America, in bear country, I guess. I don't know. This is the fascinating thing about Bear World. Different history. Do they even have corned beef here? We don't know because canned corned beef, which was developed in the 1800s, corned beef in general, if it didn't have the slave trade popularizing the distribution of it to the Americas, would it have proliferated like it did in our world, in Bear World? Do they have corned beef? Do they have pastrami? We don't know. But we do know that you can still get the Berenstain Bears St. Patrick's Day in ebook form and paperback. I have them in both. It's available. It's out there. It's fun. If you watch it on YouTube, you see the illustrations. They're cute. Thank you, Mike, for making something that makes the history of Bear World even weirder than it was before. And thank you all for listening, for paying attention to me, for listening to me blabber, for watching me run my mouth. This is deep in bear country. This is what I do. It's all I do. It's all I know how to. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for supporting me along this journey. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel if you're watching it on YouTube. And if you're not watching it on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'd love to see those numbers go up. Arrow goes up. It just makes me happy. I don't need it for anything other than my happiness because I like to know that people are out there. I like to know that people exist. Like you, I like to know that you're out there and that you exist. The world's a better place with you in it. Thank you so much, and I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.